And once again, we want to welcome you back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader. And check out our website, ccrshow.com. That's ccrshow.com. We got a lot of great articles, a lot of terrific information. And by the way, you can find rebroadcasts of our radio show and our television show there. Also, check out the website of the AUN Television Network at aun-tv.com. That's aun-tv.com. Sharon, please welcome our longtime friend back.
I'm glad to do that. It's always a pleasure and a privilege for me to introduce Tim Bryce, who is a freelance writer residing in the Tampa Bay area of Florida. He's an avid writer and speaker discussing everything from business and management to politics and morality, systems and technology in our ever-changing world. In addition to his columns and blog entitled The Bryce is Right, which is read by thousands of people worldwide, Tim has been published in a wide range of publications from the Washington Times to the Huffington Post. And Tim's new book, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works, What American Youth Should Know About Their Government. Tim, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show.
Pleasure to be back, guys, as always.
Well, you've written another one. Face masks are here to stay. Say it ain't so, Tim. Say it ain't so. I hate these things. And I keep thinking, March 1, we're not going to be wearing them anymore. But you say that surgical face masks are going to be the new normal. Why?
Well, you know, this is one of my readers suggested this to me to talk about this. And he said, Tim, you know, you're a kid from the 50s and early 60s. And you've seen a lot, you know, and take seatbelts, for example. And I said, you're absolutely right. You know, when I was growing up, there was no seatbelts at all. Cars didn't even have them in there. And when they came along, people really didn't wear them. And they went through several things. Well, now it's required to wear them. Most states, I don't know about Nevada, but I'm assuming it's assumed, same as in Florida. You can get a ticket for not wearing seatbelts now. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I used to drive my bicycle everywhere. I went all over the place. I went to school on it. I went to Little League on it. Went fishing on it. All kinds of places like that. And no one ever wore a helmet. Nothing like that. And, you know, you can get a ticket over here. You have to pay a penalty if you don't wear a helmet. And same with skateboards. And, you know, I went through a time like that. And, you know, we played hockey as a kid. And I never wore a face mask, didn't have any pads or anything like that. We just played. We did BB guns. We did slingshots. And no, we didn't shoot our eyes out. We even did those stupid lawn darts, if you remember those lawn darts. They can't believe that we did that. And you know what? I still have all 10 fingers, all 10 toes. I have no scars from it. We had a heck of a time as kids. Well, okay, here along comes the face mask now. This is what they've been pushing on us to go on out there. And I contend, hey, they're here for a long time. The government is going to just keep going. Biden wants us, wants to send one out to everybody, and he expects us to wear it through 2022. And he's got little things like mandating their use on federal property, especially in the national parks. Walking through Yosemite Park with a mask on? Come on. I mean, that seems a little excessive to me. And, you know, even if the 100% of the American populace was vaccinated, I would contend that they would still want us to wear face masks because they're going to say, well, there's a new strain that's coming out. And we're going to have a new strain in perpetuity. You know, it's always going to be around like that. And it's even if they said, hey, the coast is clear, we want to have it, no political party, no government is going to say, ease up on them. It's just going to go on in perpetuity. And I can see our grandchildren years ago, you know, say, well, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't have to wear a face mask. Really, Granddad? Really? Oh, my gosh, how old are you? Did you say, you know? So I think that's really out there. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've seen television commercials that's starting already. Then we have designer face masks. I've seen television commercials for them. The fashion industry is getting behind them. They're going to change our wardrobes, the looks the ladies have and everything. And in some of these commercials, they've got the women covered and they got these beautiful poses and they wink at you like, oh, here's the new normal. Huh. We're never going to get away from this. Now, for me, in the 1950s, and because of that, I don't like to wear seatbelts. I resist it. I don't wear a helmet when I ride a bike, anything like that. I'll still use a BB gun now and then or whatever. I'll even play somebody in some lawn darts if they want, you know, if somebody can find some of that stuff. And I am not going to wear a face mask 24/7. The big problem is the government mandating this. And I think it's all wrong. It's okay to provide it, but you can't mandate it, can't shove it down our throats.
Well, that's what I was going to ask next, is where's the choice in all of this? I guess part of it is that it doesn't necessarily make you safer. I know, you know, even the seatbelt laws, they said, oh, they'll make you safer. Well, I have a sister-in-law that was killed by a seatbelt. So it's, you know, she was wearing it and by golly, she died. So it's one of those things where your safety becomes your own responsibility and you should be able to choose how you make yourself safe. What happened to that, Tim?
Well, there's also a lot of different conflicting reports coming out of the medical community. I'm hearing now from certain medical things, the face masks are a farce. They really don't do anything for you at all. And then other people say, no, now you have to have multi-levels on these types of things. They don't know. They don't really know as to what is the cause, the real cause of this thing. And, for example, another thing is I ordered spring training tickets today. You've got to wear masks to see spring training. I go down and watch the Toronto Blue Jays playing the Yankees in March. And only 15% of the stadium is going to be allowed to be occupied. And, everybody's got to be social distance and all that kind of stuff. And you have to agree to wear a mask and all this kind of stuff. They're ruining it. They're ruining, sports and all kinds of stuff for us. Mm-hmm. This is all just madness as far as I'm concerned. No wonder people don't want to go or are losing interest in sports. No wonder they don't want to go to a baseball game or football game or anything like that. They've lost it. It's been going on too long.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, my grandsons are finally getting to go back to school. They live in a rural town, and it's going to be open, no controls, full student body. Everybody goes again. They can't wait. They really can't wait to get back to school, which is kind of funny because most kids drag their feet all summer long thinking, oh, no, I have to go back to school. But this has gone on so long that they're looking forward to it. I saw a thing on Facebook where they're saying, let's push back. March 1st is the end of it. We're not going to wear masks anymore. We're not going to obey these stinking rules that are just that, just mandates made by people who can't make laws. And it's time for us to push back. Is it really? And would that do any good? Can we all just March 1st say, not going to do it anymore?
It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Yes, we'll have a lot of people, I'm sure, go out there. Unfortunately, I'm in Florida. Our schools have been open for a long time. We go out to dinner. I went out Valentine's Day, went to this great restaurant, and food, and everybody was packed. We had a wonderful time out there, and nobody was fine. But people are conditioned already. I go to other restaurants, and they all wear their masks dutifully. You go to Publix, they all wear their masks dutifully. They all go around. They're trained. They've got the habit. They've already developed the habit. And you're not going to be able to shake that habit, especially, you know, here he tips his hand, Biden tips his hand, saying, this is going to go on to 2022 at least. So that means this whole year, plus some more, it's going to go longer.
Maybe the whole Biden era, right?
I wouldn't be surprised.
We are coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Radio Network studios and around the world on the internet with TalkStream Live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, NetTalk America, and AM FM 24/7. I'm Sharon Angle here with my co-host, Rick Trader, and we've been talking with our longtime friend and guest, Tim Bryce, who's a freelance writer and the writer of the blog, The Bryce is Right, also in his new book, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works, What the American Youth Should Know About the Government. And this time we're talking about masks. Face masks are here to stay, says Tim Bryce. And we will continue this conversation right after these messages.
And once again, we want to welcome you back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show. We share an angle, and yours truly, Rick Trader. And I want to get right back into it with Tim Bryce. Tim is the creator of The Bryce is Right. And it's not true that, you know, Tim was talking about walking through a national park with a mask on. It is not true that Bryce Canyon National Park was named after Tim. He's not that old. He didn't create it. So you don't go there. We're talking
but it was a family member. It was a distant
relative. Wow. Here I was trying to joke, Tim. Someday we got to hear that backstory. But we are talking about an article that Tim wrote. Face masks are here to stay. And, you know, Tim, when you and Sharon were talking about face masks, reminded me of something that happened to me 25 years ago. In the day, I was a very good dancer. I loved to dance. I still love to dance. I used to go dancing 2, 3, 4, 5 nights a week. Wherever I could find a place to dance, I'd go. And I can remember one night going into a place and seeing this cute little lady sitting there, and she had the prettiest smile. I was really so attracted to this lady's smile. I went over, I reached out my hand, she took it, we went on to the dance floor. We've been together ever since. That was 25 years ago. And when you and Sharon were talking about how could this possibly change her life, if she would have had a mask on, that night, guess what? It wouldn't have happened.
Dancing is wonderful. And
just her smile. I wouldn't have seen her smile. And that's really what attracted me to my now wife.
Yeah.
I've been with for 25 years was this beautiful little smile. And, you know, I also heard something else, that most men are attracted to a lady by her smile.
Yeah.
Just think how wearing a mask, and you talk about designer masks. Hey, Tim, I don't care how stylish, how pretty the designer mask is. There's nothing that can replace a pretty smile, at least in my book, and in the books of most men.
Well, you know, at that restaurant I was mentioning earlier, for around Valentine's Day, they had a trio outside. It was around a pool. It's beautiful seafood restaurant that we had. And they're playing just some nice, easy jazz, and people were dancing. People love to dance. And they really want to get back into it. They can't do it with the masks on or anything like that. It's a shame. You know, I learned big band dancing. Yeah, yes, I'm a kid of the 60s, and yes, I learned how to do the frug and all that kind of stuff. But in college, we used to have parties with the ladies doing big band dancing.
I love
they love Benny Goodman.
You know,
they loved all that stuff, and it was some of the best parties we ever had.
Yep.
Women love big band music. I'm sorry.
I love big band music. I really do. In fact, one of my favorite Christmas albums is big band music. But, you know, Tim, talking about how this is going to change people's lives, there's a certain amount of peer pressure by people you don't even know. For instance, long time ago, when all this mask hysteria was started, I was walking into a Walmart, okay? And I had my mask in my hand. I was going to put it on when I got to the door, because, you know, when you wear sunglasses, you put a mask on, it fogs up, right? Because I wasn't going to. And I had a couple of people chastise me in a parking lot because I wasn't wearing a mask. Walking into a Walmart, they were chastising me.
Yeah.
They were giving me evil looks.
Right,
they said, don't forget your mask. Put your mask on.
Probably Democrats.
I don't know who they were.
Oh, I don't understand is you see the people driving around in their own cars with masks on. Who are they trying to impress?
Maybe they like their own breath so much.
Oh,
they
my
wanna...
goodness. we've lost it. Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention about, you know, last time I was on, we were talking about the nominees for secretary for the cabinet, and a lot of them are going through there. I couldn't believe Pete Buttigieg just sailed on through there for transportation secretary. That boggles my mind. Merrick Garland, you notice, is struggling in that attorney general thing. He came on out today and they
doesn't
asked
matter.
Him point blank, would you arrest somebody who had entered the country illegally? Well, I don't know about that. I haven't studied it. In other words, he's trying to carry the party line. If he can't figure out something as simple as that, thank God he'd never made it to the Supreme Court, you know, when we asked. And Deb Haalan, the Interior Secretary, is running into problems, too, still, as predicted. And what was it? Becerra, the Health Secretary.
Yeah.
You know, he is really going through a fight, you know, and the Republicans are painting him as some wild extremist. I think he is. And Jennifer Granholm for Energy, she's just getting started on her confirmation hearings. And she vows to implement the new Green Deal. That's her old thing. But they ask her about jobs and, you know, what about people in the fossil fuel industry and so on? And I said, no, we're going to have all these millions of new jobs, you know, for people in the fossil fuel, the new stuff. Yeah, right. You know,
do you remember Obamacare?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
not going to lose your doctor. You're not going to lose your hospital. How you're going to save $2,500 a year. All three of those were lies. And here
right.
we're, you know, same thing with this new Green Deal. And by the way, the $60, $70, $80 an hour jobs that they're eliminating will be replaced with $20 and $22 an hour jobs, because that's what these
right.
solar panel installers get. You know,
yep.
they're making a third of what energy workers are making. It's all like Garland. I don't think it makes a difference if he gets approved or not. And I'll tell you why, Tim. Biden will just pick somebody else just as bad. Might pick Obama. Might pick Michelle Obama. Might pick Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton. It'll be somebody just as bad. So it doesn't really matter.
Well, my point out of this is the ones that we thought were really far left extremists are the ones that are having a hard time getting through, including Gina Raimondo for Commerce. She's the governor of Rhode Island.
Right.
I've got a feeling that's not going to go through. Something really stinks there, and that's going to be the hardest one to get through.
You know, the one that the energy secretary, the former governor from Michigan or Wisconsin?
Jennifer Granholm.
Yeah, where is she from? Wisconsin, right?
Well, she was doing her stuff up in Michigan, but
Michigan.
She had moved to California, and she was teaching law at the University of California at Berkeley.
Well, I'd like to know how much energy comes out of Michigan that she's such an expert on, that she should be the energy secretary. Same thing about Becerra, Health and Human Services. He's a lawyer. A bad lawyer at that. And
right.
his expertise is suing.
That's
what
right.
he knows how to do. He knows how to sue.
Right.
He's an ambulance chaser.
Right. And you know, what is that? How does that qualify him for that? No. It's all about ideology. And you know, you and I have talked about this at great extent.
Yep.
A lot of these people are just not qualified for these positions. And hopefully they'll have good number twos behind them. But, you know, it's coming out. You know, there's
number two
that are going to squeak through, if they squeak through at all.
Yeah, I think it's the number two, Health and Human Services, that former man now goes by a woman from Pennsylvania.
Yep.
I mean, hello, this person's got problems himself.
Right.
And this is, she's a health, she, he, it is a health expert. I'm sorry. You know, this person's got problems, okay?
Right.
But yet, he, she, it can solve everybody else's problems. Please cut me a break. Cut me a break. You know, this is the O'Biden cabinet of political correctness. It's got to be a male, a female, a homosexual, transvestite, a person of color, have a Hispanic last name, or you've got to be a former member of the Obama administration. That's what makes up this cabinet. Not the best people, not the best people, but you got to fill one of those requirements.
By the way, let me just do one last thing on spring.
Other than that, I have no opinion.
One last thing on spring training. I happened to get an inside source telling me that today was the day you order tickets, starting at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah.
I would say within an hour, everything was gone. Everything's gone. I'm assuming that's going to be true
Tim.
Arizona and all that kind of stuff.
People want their lives back, Tim.
That's right. It was sold.
You know, right now, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is taking place in Orlando, you know, right up I-4 from you, Tim. It's packed from where there's – it's sold out. People are tired of this. They want their lives back again.
It's sold. That's right. They're very much people want to get out. Now, fortunately, that's why they moved it to Florida, because Maryland has got too many restrictions.
Yep. Tim Brace. The Brace is right. We always love having you on, Tim. You know that. I don't need to tell you that, Tim. We always love having you on. Tim, tell our audience how they could read your articles, gain from your wisdom, and that book. Hold up that book again.
I'm at timbrice.com, B-R-Y-C-E, or just do a search on Google or Yahoo, and you can find me also on YouTube, because I do audio segments on it as well. Just Tim Brice, B-R-Y-C-E.
Tim, hold up that book one more time.
Okay.
Before you vote, know how your government works. Buy it for your kids. By the way, there's this bill that they're trying to push through, H.R. 1. It's going to allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote. So you better buy that book, people. Buy it for your children, your grandchildren, and also buy it for their teachers.
I actually think we should raise the voting age back to 21.
I think it should be 35, actually. But that's just me.
That's another
Tim Brice. Tim Brice, thank you so much for joining us. You really got my blood going there, Tim.
Keep the faith, my friends.
You bet. Take care and God bless. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos Radio Show. We share an angle. Yours truly, Rick Trader. Sharon and I will be back with more right after this break.